Headlines. Millions of Muslims from across the globe are converging on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to commemorate Arba'een. Pyongyang says it has staged what it calls a simulated tactical nuclear attack drill in response to joint military war games by the U.S. and South Korea. And Ukraine reports a drone strike on the southern Odessa region days after a major drone attack on a Russian airport in Pskov region. Warm welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is Muse. It's good to have you with us. Millions of Muslims from across the globe are converging on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to commemorate Arba'een, the 40th day after the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam, and the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. People from all walks of life are marching toward the holy city, most notably from Iran. Senior Iranian government officials have made multiple visits to the border crossings in recent days to ensure a smooth passage for pilgrims to and from Iraq. Experts say that it is significant to keep alive the movement of Karbala, which is a movement against terrorism, fascism, and despotism. Imam Hussein and 72 of his companions were martyred in the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD, while fighting courageously for justice against the much larger army of then-tyrant ruler Yazid. Demonstrations in the northern Iraqi city of Kirkuk over the handover of a key facility from federal to local Kurdish authorities have turned violent. Police say at least three protesters have been shot dead and 14 have been injured. Police have launched an investigation to determine who opened fire. Kurdish supporters, Arab and Turkmen protesters, as well as security forces were all involved in the clashes. The Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed al-Sudani has ordered a curfew in the city, promising justice. The Iraqi President Abdul Latif Rashid has also called for constructive dialogue. The Iraqi army has been using the Kurdistan Democratic Party headquarters in Kirkuk as a base since federal forces seized the city and the surrounding oil fields in 2017. However, the government now wants to return the building to a KDP in a show of goodwill. Kirkuk has historically been disputed between the federal government in Baghdad and authorities in the semi-autonomous Kurdish region in the north. Fresh details have emerged from a major Israeli sabotage attempt against Iran's defense industries that was thwarted by the country's intelligence. Military officials say that a professional team led by Mossad was trying to equip missile connectors with explosive circuits, which could then be programmed to blow up at a specific time.
It's a plot out of a Hollywood movie, but with serious repercussions. A shadow war between Israel and Iran. This one involves an Israeli plot to sabotage Iran's defense industry, including missiles, the biggest military sabotage attempt against Iran in the past 100 years. It is one that failed, however, just in the nick of time. The agency's statement reveals the scope of the operation. The intelligence unit of the defense ministry thwarted one of the largest sabotage plots targeting Iran's missile, aviation, and aerospace military industry. This sabotage was carried out under the guidance of the Zionist intelligence services and their agents. A network of agents sought to introduce defective parts into the production of advanced missiles, specifically defective connectors from abroad. The defective parts were discovered by the Defense Ministry Information Protection. The plan was to equip these connectors with explosive circuits. If that was done successfully, the connectors could be programmed to explode remotely at any time.
The Israeli spy agency Mossad has been at the heart of anti-Iran plots for decades. Simply put, it has targeted Iran in order to stop its advancements in a variety of fields, but apparently what has been of interest is Iran's nuclear program and Iran's defense industry. This includes targeting scientists and nuclear facilities.
Under the false pretext of preventing Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons, Mossad has been carrying out a campaign of sabotage and cyber attacks on Iran's civilian nuclear program for quite some time. One of the notorious ones was the Stuxnet virus. In April 2011, Iranian government official Ghulam Reza Jalali stated that an investigation had concluded that both the United States and Israel were behind the Stuxnet attack. Mossad has also methodically assassinated and murdered Iranian nuclear scientists, from magnetic bombs attached to the side of their cars, to the use of poison, and allegedly the use of a killer robot remotely used as an assassin. Additionally, Israel has also targeted Iran's nuclear facilities. Israel's targeting of Iran's defense industry, in particular its drones and missile program, does make sense from Israel's point of view. Iran has made extraordinary advancements in these two fields and military hardware overall. But all of these destructive actions, which Israel has not claimed responsibility for, has not been able to stop Iran's advancement. From Israel's perspective, it makes strategic sense, though only a temporary fix. There's an Iranian saying that says, "Don't play with the lion's tail." Iran may have thwarted these acts of sabotage, but for how long will its patience last when it comes to Israel?
Israeli settlers have once again stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound under the protection of regime forces. According to Palestinian media, the settlers toured the compound and performed rituals there. Under an agreement reached between Jordan and the Israeli regime in 1967, non-Muslim worship at the compound is prohibited. Al-Aqsa Mosque is subjected to almost daily incursions by Israeli settlers, which provoke Palestinians' anger. On Friday, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas warned that any incursions during the Jewish holiday is tantamount to an all-out war. Tens of thousands of Israelis are back on the streets of Tel Aviv for the 35th consecutive week to protest against what they call a judicial coup.
I came out here today with my family so that we can protest against the judicial coup. It's a crucial time right now. We need to come out. We need to be in the streets. We have a big vote in about 2 weeks, and I can't tell you that I'm hopeful, but we are not going to stop coming out until we're able to turn back and make sure that everyone has someone else watching over what they're doing. Nobody has the power to make changes at their whim.
Mass protests against the so-called judicial overhaul have been ongoing since it was proposed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's extreme far-right cabinet back in January. In August, Israel's Supreme Court began hearing the first in a series of appeals linked to the overhaul, which set off an unprecedented domestic crisis. Israel is now facing public unrest, labor strikes, and mutiny by some members of its military. The opposition believes that the cabinet is aiming to weaken the judiciary and to prevent it from being able to maintain checks and balances on the cabinet. They say that the protests will continue until they are able to repeal the legislation. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea confirms it staged a, quote, simulated tactical nuclear attack drill during the weekend with mock atomic warheads attached to two long-range cruise missiles. The missiles were fired from the country's west coast toward the Yellow Sea. Pyongyang said the operation on Saturday was a counteraction drill in response to the joint military activity by the U.S. and South Korea. The launches come 3 days after the DPRK fired a pair of short-range ballistic missiles as part of a similar drill. This comes as Seoul and Washington have ramped up their joint military exercises with advanced stealth jets and U.S. strategic assets. Pyongyang says the U.S. and the South are pursuing, quote, confrontation hysteria, adding that it views such war games as a rehearsal for invasion. Washington and Seoul claim that they are defensive in nature. The correspondent Frank Smith says the U.S.-backed U.N. sanctions against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea are impediments to Washington's engagement with Pyongyang.
The U.S. always says it's open to negotiations, but really the big elephant in the room for the United States, of course, is the U.S.-supported United Nations Security Council sanctions against North Korea that prevent North Korea from trading with the international community. North Korea has said on many occasions that it will negotiate with the U.S. if it drops its hostile policy. It views the promotion and continued sanctions against North Korea as hostile. It prevents North Korea from developing its economy and has some other consequences that go far beyond the sort of goals of those sanctions to make it difficult for North Korea, for example, to grow its own food. If it doesn't have access to oil, it doesn't have the drivers in the economy that fuel tractors, for example. So it has a whole knock-on effect that strike the North Korean people and not necessarily the leadership. So again, it's these United Nations Security Council sanctions that U.S. might have to, and certainly the council should look at, suspending in order to encourage North Korea to come to the negotiating table, draw down the tension, and really put things on another foot moving forward.
Not to Taiwan, domestic flights and ferry services to surrounding islands have been canceled as Typhoon Haiku makes landfall on eastern Taiwan. The Civil Aeronautics Administration says 37 international flights have also been canceled for Sunday. Taiwan's President Tsai Ing says this is the first typhoon to make landfall on the island and cross the central mountain range in 4 years. Almost 3,000 people have been evacuated, mainly in the south and east. The military has mobilized soldiers and equipment to help with flood relief and evacuation efforts. Ukraine says the southern Odessa region came under attack by over 24 drones early on Sunday. Ukraine's South Military Command says the attacks targeted the civil infrastructure in a port on the Danube River. The military says the attacks left 2 people injured and caused a fire in the port area. The military did not specify which port was hit, but Ukrainian media reported blasts in the Reni port. Russia has yet to comment. This comes days after Ukraine said a major drone attack on a Russian airport in the Pskov region destroyed 2 transport planes and seriously damaged 2 others. Ukraine has vowed to return the conflict to Russia, and in recent weeks, it has increased drone attacks on Russian territory, including the capital Moscow. Russia has been responding with its own drone strikes on the Ukrainian capital Kiev and other cities. Hundreds of people in Belgrade have staged a rally against the government of Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić. Protesters chanting for the removal of Vučić marched through the city and assembled in front of the parliament. They condemned violence and alleged political corruption in Serbia. Protest organizers also demand the dismissal of several officials. Protests in Belgrade and throughout Serbia began after 2 deadly mass shootings in the country in May and carried on during the summer. Furious, rail unions in Italy have staged a national strike after 5 workers were run over by a train earlier this week. Safety in the workplace has now turned into an issue of growing concern in the country. More on this report from Rome.
On Friday, trade and base unions held a nationwide strike over what they call a shameful number of deaths at work. On Wednesday, 5 maintenance workers were hit by a train while repairing tracks on the Milan-Turin line in northern Italy. The day after, 2 more workplace fatalities occurred, bringing the total number of deaths on the job to over 700 since January. Unions are saying these tragedies could have been avoided.
Yes, these deaths could have been prevented. As safety in the workplace costs money, companies prefer to save on worker safety this way, making bigger profits. Our railway system was in the hands of the state until not long ago. Today, most of it has been contracted to private firms. Private groups only know how to offer services at the cheapest rate. It's like a rat race. If workers complain about their working conditions, they are fired.
On Friday, prosecutors placed under investigation an employee of the National Rail Company, RFI, in relation to the accident in which 5 maintenance workers were hit and killed by a train. Safety in the workplace is an issue of increasing concern in Italy. According to the European Union's statistical agency Eurostat, 776 fatal accidents on the job were recorded in Italy in 2020. By far the highest number in the block.
On top of the deaths at work, we also have a high number of non-fatal accidents and practically no protection for workers on very demanding physically and psychologically jobs. Private companies must be given strict rules when doing workplace safety risk assessments, and their managers have to be severely punished when they fail to observe these rules.
Unions are demanding that the workplace safety issues seriously enter the political debate and that the country's work system finally comply with the EU safety standards. Max Civili, Rome.
One day after Niger's military rulers accused France of blatant interference in the country's affairs, thousands of people in the capital, Niamey, have held an anti-French rally. Protesters demanded the former colonial ruler withdraw his military personnel from the West African nation. Iranians are marking the national day of the fight against British colonialism, commemorating the 109th anniversary of the martyrdom of Rais Ali Delbari, a great national hero and independence fighter who led the anti-colonial struggle in southern Iran. However, this year the occasion is even more special, as many Iranians have had the chance to mark this day where he has been laid to rest.
And that is for this edition of World News. That's bye-bye for now.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 3rd, 2023. I'm Atefe Irfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and outlooks are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the most. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and you just heard a piece of beautiful Iranian music. And we've received reception reports from around the world from Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Alexei Kolakov is one of our old and regular listeners. And we have also reception reports from Alex Robert from Brazil, and Anand Moham from India has sent us reception report. So, Alexei Anandan, Alex, thank you for the reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a special thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world. A special thanks to Ding Lu from China, to Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, to Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Zach Alvarez from the Philippines has sent us a piece of email. And the last but not the least in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from Chris Malboff, one of our old and regular listeners from Canada. So stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Ding Lu from China has sent us a piece of email. Ding Lu says, Dear Radio IRIB or IRIB English Radio, I'm a listener from China. Today I received your English program signal at 19:20 UTC. Here I want to apply for two paper QSL cards from the Radio IRIB. If there are souvenirs with Radio IRIB's logo, it would be even better. I like your station programs very much. I also hope to get two paper QSL cards or EQSL from IRIB Radio. Looking forward to receiving your reply. Thanks. Best wishes. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Ding Lu, from China. Much gratitude to you for this email. So, you were successful in catching up the signals of IRIB English Radio in China. Good news! And also, it's good to hear that you are pleased with the programs, as you said. You like the station's programs very much. I was wondering if you could tell us which programs you were interested in. Maybe in the upcoming letters or emails, you could tell us. And at the end, an EQSL or electronic QSL will be sent to you very soon. Ding Lu from China, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So let's see what Roni Hossein from Bangladesh says. Roni says, Hello, my dear friends. I have attached a report of the reception with information on the quality of the reception of your station in my area. I hope to receive a reply from your side. Thank you in advance. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. And thank you very much for this email, Roni Hossein from Bangladesh. Thank you for your commitment to IRIB English Radio. Please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as verification to this email. So you attached a report of the reception with information on the quality of the reception of IRIB English Radio in your area. Thank you for that. Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, thank you very much for this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. A piece of email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Alexei says, Hello and good day. My name is Alexei Kolakov and I am sending a reception report from Lipetsk in Russia. I ask you to confirm it by the paper QSL or EQSL to my email. Thank you in advance. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Appreciations to you for this email, of course. An EQSL will be sent to you very soon as verification and confirmation through this writing, through this email. Anyway, we wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. So let's see what Zach Alvarez from the Philippines says. Zach says, "Dear IRIB Radio, I have received and heard your station here in Dos Marinas, Philippines. I was monitoring your station yesterday at 15 to 1520 UTC. The program was about Islamic issues and gave us listeners some information in this regard. The signal was fair here in the Philippines. Thank you for the precious efforts. Yours truly." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Zach Alvarez from the Philippines, many thanks for this writing. It's good to hear that you could listen to our programs from the Philippines in Dos Marinas. I don't know where the exact location of this place is, but I was wondering if you could tell us the exact location and share your information with us. Anyway, so you said the program was about Islamic issues. Thank you for letting us know about that. And you said the signal was fair. It's good to hear that. Your compliments, Zach Alvarez, gives us more power and incentive to continue our path. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Zach Alvarez from the Philippines, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back from Chris Malbo from Canada. We've received an email. Chris Malbo is one of our old and regular listeners, so let's see what he says. "Hello and greetings from British Columbia, Canada. Hope this finds you well. I haven't been able to listen to your station in quite some time, but I'm just returning to becoming a regular listener. Have a good day and a good week ahead. Sincerely, Chris Malbo from British Columbia, Canada." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. And many thanks for writing to us again. You said you were not able to listen to IRIB English Radio in quite some time, but you're now returning to becoming a regular listener again. And it's good to hear that. So please accept our EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. As I always say, art is long, but life is short. Yes, we have to say goodbye. But before that, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you, dear listeners, that kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Alexei Kolakov from Russia, Alex Robert from Brazil, Anand Mohan from India, Ding Lu from China, Ronnie Hossein from Bangladesh, also Zach Alvarez from the Philippines, and Chris Malbo from Canada. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi talking with you from IRIB English Radio and about the human rights in the Holy Quran. We've been talking about different types, and the new type of human rights that we are going to introduce in this episode is right for defense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this right to any human beings, not only to the individuals, but also to the society, to the community. Of course, this right of defense and self-defense is a quite rational right that does not require to be explicitly mentioned and recognized by the holy Quranic verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly does not mention anything about the individual self-defense, although there are some pieces of evidence. If you remember, when we've been talking about the first type of right for life, we talked about the issue of qisas. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this right to the human beings to defend themselves in case that they are attacked, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different verses that said that no one is allowed to kill anyone except one case, and that one case is that if you have this right to kill someone, and one of those cases in which you have right to kill someone is the case that they attack you and they want to kill you, so you defend yourself. So we have Quranic verses conveying that, even ironically, and we have narrations talking about that. But here I want to talk about another type of self-defense that is somehow new, and that is social self-defense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a Muslim community has been attacked, they also have this right, and it is quite legitimate to defend themselves. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ. If you have been attacked, if someone starts a conflict and a war against you, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. If they have started an attack against you, then you are oppressed. And then now that you are oppressed, you are allowed to return the attack and to react the attack. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes, but also He says that, I help you. It means that you are doing such a kind of approved act. That's why whoever is being killed through this conflict is considered as martyr with lots of blessings, because he is defending the right of self-defense of the Islamic community. We will talk about this issue more after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio. We've been talking about the right of self-defense, and we focused on the social self-defense. We said that if anyone, any society or community attacks the Muslim community, the society has this right to defend himself. Not only has this right, but also will be supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing happened to the Muslim community at the beginning of Islamic history, when they have been banished and have been, fired by the mushrikeen from their city. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. The believers have been banished from their own original city, from their hometown, without a legitimate right to banish them. So they have this right to return it back. And that is the answer of many questions. Because there are many people asking that why Prophet Muhammad started the battlefield of Badr, the first battle between Muslims and non-believers. Why they have attacked the, what we call it, caravan of business traders of mushrikeen. The answer is being mentioned in this verse, that that was a kind of defense. Because they have been banished illegitimately from their own houses. So this is a kind of right, because he says that أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. It means that they did not have this right to banish them. So these people, these Muslims, have this right to return the attack. And it's very confirmed by the nature of human beings. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. If we take out the defense, the right for defense, out of the life of human beings, there would be a huge corruption on the earth. Because if someone knows that he is able to attack and the other side has no right to react, so the oppressors would feel very freedom to start attacking to any place, any country, any community, and to conquer any spot of and spin any land of the earth and get the authority over the whole earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, I have designed and organized the system of Islamic society in a way that it is quite legitimate to react toward the any attack coming from outside. So لَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. So he says that قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. If they attack you, you also are allowed to react, to defend. Although, again, I have to repeat, there is no absolute freedom in any types, any of these types. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, although I have given you this legitimate right to defend yourself, you do not have right to exceed the limitations. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Yes, you are able, you are allowed to react, but you are not allowed to oppress. You are not allowed to do unjust acts. You are not allowed to exceed the limitations. And those limitations are the laws and assignments and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
In Britain, the head of the race equality think tank, Dr. Halima Begum, says the British government has a major credibility issues with denial of institutional racism. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. the outgoing head of Britain's leading race equality think tank. The Runnymede Trust, Dr. Halima Begum, says the continued denial of institutional racism has created a credibility issue for the British government. Dr. Halima Begum, who is stepping down as a director of the Runnymede Trust after 3 years, said that soon after the government released its controversial report on race, which claimed to not find evidence for institutional racism, there were several national scandals that showed otherwise. Every time they denied institutional racism, some other event would happen that showed the realities for people of colour living in Britain. If it wasn't the Casey Review, it was the cricket or the experience of the black England footballers at the Euro competition. Every time there is a denial of racism, it surfaces out again. So no, they were not successful, she said. Dr. Halima Begum added, I would say the more they tried to deny the existence of racism, the more they showed themselves to be not committed to race equality, and in fact, not committed to many people in this country, because the rest of the country could see the disparities. I think it created a bit of a credibility issue for the British government and those that would deny institutional racism. Dr. Halima Begum began her tenure as the head of the Runnymede Trust in 2020, at a time when multiple issues from coronavirus to Black Lives Matter protests were affecting the country. On Black Lives Matter, Dr. Halima Begum says, it felt like we were living through quite a historic and seismic time. It felt so hopeful, but it also placed a tremendous responsibility on those of us who are a bit older to do something, because we know what happens when young people's demands are not met. There's nothing worse than people hitting the streets and then finding out that actually your action doesn't matter. So I was aware that there was a window of opportunity, a very short time span, to try and deliver those demands into outcomes that could change policy and could change the life opportunities for the next generation. British newspaper The Daily Mail has also covered this issue and tells us more. The outgoing head of the Runnymede Trust, the main race equality think tank in Britain, Dr. Halima Begum, says the British government has a major credibility issue with denial of institutional racism. The outgoing head of Britain's leading race equality think tank says the continued denial of institutional racism has created a credibility issue for the British government. Dr. Halima Begum, who's stepping down as the head of the Runnymede Trust after 3 years in the post, said that soon after the government released its controversial report on race, which claimed to not find evidence of institutional racism, there were several national scandals that showcased it. Before the launch of the government's race report, equality groups expressed concerns with the process. But Dr. Halima Begum said Runnymede Trust had engaged fully with the commission. We were going to make it work. We were going to hold them to account. Now the individuals that they chose perhaps didn't have the best record on race, but you could still work for the process and want better outcomes. Some people might say that's naive, but from an organisational perspective, you have to push it to deliver more. The report, when it finally landed in March of 2021, was widely criticised for playing down the role of structural racism in modern British society. UK bodies that were credited in the report quickly distanced themselves from it, while the United Nations human rights experts described it as an attempt to normalise white supremacy. Dr. Halima Begum said it was startling to see the denial of institutional racism in the United Kingdom. It was still quite shocking, and the reason why it was shocking to see that denial was because of the twin energy from Black Lives Matter and COVID around the barefaced reality of racism. When the report came out, Dr. Halima Begum was caring for her father, who was being treated for cancer. She added, "Everybody is quick to say, we understand individual acts of racism. That's a bad person. They were racist. But if hundreds of bad people are racist in an institution, it becomes an institutional problem." In response to the Runnymede Trust criticism of the report, more than a dozen Conservative MPs wrote to the Charity Commission demanding an investigation into the organisation. The Commission later found the think tank did not breach charity guidance. Dr. Begum said she was receiving death threats at the time and described the attacks on Runnymede Trust as a damning reality. The idea that a charity organisation set up to speak out against racism wasn't allowed to speak out against racism, that's the tragedy. The political system is so broken that somehow everything feels distorted and you cannot stand for what's right according to your charitable objectives. Still, Dr. Begum feels proud of the work that she was able to achieve at her time at Runnymede Trust. "I'm very proud to have been at an institution that has weathered the storm of multiple fronts of attacks, very proud to be part of an institution that has stood the test of time. And we prevailed."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha.
on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about employment and livelihood. And in it, Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks about one of the verses of the Holy Quran in which this subject has been mentioned. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: Is it they who dispense the mercy of your Lord? It is we who have dispensed among them their livelihood in the present life, and raised some of them above others in rank, so that some may take others into service, and your Lord's mercy is better than what they amass. In commentating on this verse, Imam Ali said the following: Allah, the Exalted, told us that employment is one of the means of people's livelihood. He, in His wisdom, diversified their aspirations, motivations, and other states. Thus, He made man's employment of one another one of the means of people's livelihood. If every one of us was forced to build for himself, make his own furniture, and produce everything himself, the world's conditions would not be bearable, and people would not be able to endure them, and would find them impossible. But he ensured its management by diversifying their aspirations, so that everyone performs for others that which is compatible with his own capacity, in order for some of them to be served by others and for their conditions to be sound. And it's interesting to note that this hadith, what the Imam says in this hadith, is kind of tied up with which one of the verses of the Holy Quran mentions regarding the prophethood of the prophets, in that God Almighty in one of the verses of the Holy Quran says that mankind was a single nation, and then they differed and disputed amongst themselves, so then the prophets were delegated and sent, which kind of indicates the fact that human beings primordially were a simple species, and there wasn't a lot of diversity and disparagement amongst the individual members of the species. You know, society was very simple, but gradually as it began growing, there was a need for the distribution of labor, right, which the Imam indicates in this hadith. This leads to conflict and, you know, a need for a law which is to be set out by God, and for this God Almighty, He sent and delegated the prophets. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at employment and livelihood in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
the spotlight.